Let's pay careful attention now as we hear God's word to us. Psalm 139, starting at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, the night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, and when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. And then our text that we're looking at this afternoon, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So far, God's word. Let's bring this word now before God in prayer. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come and hear your word this afternoon. Lord, we do pray that you would search our hearts now as we hear a word, as we pray this afternoon, as we consider this afternoon what it is to ask you to examine our hearts. Bless us now as we spend time under your word, Lord. Remove any of the distractions of the day. Help us to focus on you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Are we all okay at the back there? We're okay to carry on? Yep, business as usual. All right. Well, eyes front, folks. And let's focus now together. I've just created the distraction, but it was there anyway. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. I don't know about you, but I'm not a very big fan of exams. Of being examined. The thought of exams and sitting a test fills me with dread. I haven't had any of these nightmares recently, but during my university times and for a number of years after university, I would wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, thinking that I was late for my exam and I'd be running down the street trying to get to my exam on time, or I'd be sitting there running down the street in my pajamas ready for the exam. Well, sitting there at the examination table, sitting there to write my exam and not knowing what to write, not knowing what to say. And part of that was because my last exam ever for physiotherapy wasn't a particularly good one. It was a practical exam, had a really difficult patient, and to be honest, I couldn't figure out what was going on. I found out later my examiners couldn't figure out what was going on either. But I was sitting there examining this patient with two examiners watching my every move and sort of looking at me and then making notes on the clipboard. At one stage, I had to excuse myself from the room, go outside and compose myself and come back in. The good news was that I passed by the skin of my teeth. Exams still cause me to shudder. Even sitting there the other day in Bram's exam, one of my thoughts was, I'm just so glad I'm not sitting there and being examined like he is. And thankfully he passed. But how about you? Do you like sitting exams? Do you like being placed under the microscope? Sitting those tests? Well, that's exactly what the psalmist is doing here in Psalm 139. He voluntarily comes before God and says, examine me. Test me. Search me. Know me. Lead me. And that's our theme this afternoon, following on from the psalmist. We call God to examine our hearts. We call God to examine our hearts. And as we do so, we're considering the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not what, boys and girls? Thou shalt not covet. That's right. Thou shalt not covet. And we read from that in Psalm 113. What is God's will for us in the 10th commandment? That not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in my heart. In many ways, what we're doing here is we're coming back, all the way back to the first commandment. When we covet, we're committing adultery. When we covet, we're saying to God, you're not enough. You're not giving us enough. We want more. It's our sinful desires that stop us from loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, from loving our neighbor as ourselves. And so we're going to look at our hearts and see what the psalmist prays about God examining his heart as we look together at the end of Psalm 139 this afternoon. And as we do so, there are 4 points. I know I'm pushing it. 2 4-point sermons on a Sunday. I promise I'll make up for it with a few two-pointers in a couple of weeks perhaps. But certainly no-pointer sermons. Our first point this afternoon, following the 4 phrases that we have here in our passage, is know me. Know me. Search me, O God, and know my heart, the psalmist prays, King David prays. Now he's not inviting God to come and look and see how good I am, God. Tell me how good I am. See how well I follow your law. He's just said in verses 19 through 22, he's spoken about God's enemies. He sees the wicked. He sees how the wicked disobey God. And rather than saying, well, I'm glad, God, that I'm not like these wicked people, the psalmist sees the sins of the wicked, and he sees the danger of falling into those very same sins. Falling into the same trap of the world. And he's saying, come and examine me, God. Come and examine me. Search my heart. Search me inside and out. Now, we live in the days of modern medicine. We have the beauty of scans. We can have an MRI scan or a CAT scan. And they're getting better and better all the time. And one of the things that happens when you have a scan, and I know this has happened for several of us over the years, is that you have a scan and the doctors are looking for something and they actually find something else. Something that you had no symptoms for, something that you didn't even know was happening. Something that you were blind to. Yet it's found there in that scan. And David is saying, come and look inside me. Come and know my heart. But doesn't God know already? Boys and girls, we say that God is omniscient. Can anyone tell me what that means? What does it mean that God is omniscient? Zara? It means that he knows everything. So in a way, isn't it silly to ask God, know my heart, when he knows us inside and out? Now, what David is actually asking here, because God knows everything that has happened, God knows what is happening and will happen, God knows our speech, he knows all of our innermost thoughts. What David is actually saying is, help me, God, to identify those areas in my life that I'm blind to. Help me to see those areas in my life where I'm blind to sin. And the esteem that we're driving, trusty van that it is, well, we have a pillar there on the front by the windscreen. And sometimes you have to be careful because you can miss traffic. It's a blind spot. We all have that in our cars between our mirror, and that's why we get taught to look over our shoulder. And what David is saying is, help me see my blind spots. Help me see the things within me that I can't see, that I'm blind to, that I ignore. Know me, God. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Show me. Know me is David's first request. His second is test me. Second half of verse 23 there. Try me and know my thoughts. Try me and know my thoughts. Now this word try can also be translated test. Test me. And it has the picture of refining gold. That's what the word means. When you have a piece of gold and you put it in a furnace and you boil away all the impurities. It's the idea of testing it. Is it real gold? Is it gold? Is it true gold? Now, I prayed this prayer once as a fairly self-confident teenager. I prayed to God, give me what you've got. Test me. Literally. Work me hard, God. Try me. And that summer was the toughest summer I had ever experienced in my life. My relationships were challenged. My beliefs were challenged. I was challenged so much and felt so much under pressure that I actually said, go easy, God, please. But during this time of tremendous challenge, it was also a time of my life in which I growed the most. In which I grew the most, I should say, in my spiritual walk, in my spiritual life. As God worked in me, cutting away some of the things that needed to be cut, cutting me down to size. Maybe you've experienced that too. You've experienced tough times, hard times, dark times. But they are also times in which we can grow. That's the way that God works. He uses testing. He uses trials in our life. As the Apostle James tells us. James in James chapter 1 says this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Test us, God. Try us, God. Know our thoughts. Some translations have this phrase here, try me, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Know my struggles. Know my trials. Know what I find most difficult. Know where I'm struggling to hold on to you. And walk with me. Help me to grow. Sanctify me. Make me more like Jesus Christ. Another translation has, try me and know my cares. It's the same idea. You know my struggles. Help me, Lord. Know me. Test me. And thirdly, clean me. Clean me. Verse 24, see if there be any grievous way in me. See if there be any grievous way in me. This word grievous can be translated hurtful, offensive, idolatrous. And you, with that combination of words, you can see what David is asking here. He's saying, see if there's any sinful, hurtful way in me. Remember the previous verses that we read about the wicked men. David is saying, Don't let me travel down that path. Examine me. See that I'm not going down the path, the way of the wicked. Another way of translating this phrase is see if there be the way of pain in me, or stop me from going down the way of pain. Now, David isn't just asking here for a diagnosis. See if there be any grievous way in me. Going back to our scan and the surgeon, and you meet with the surgeon, and the surgeon says to you, I'm sorry to tell you, but you've been diagnosed with bowel cancer. But it's okay. We've caught it early. Bowel cancer is one of the most common cancers in New Zealand, but the good news is that it has a really good treatment and success rate. Are you going to sit there and say, thank you, doctor? Do I pay the receptionist on the way out? How much is the charge of that going to be? Thank you for that information. That's really helpful for me to know. And off you go. Of course not. You're going to sit there and listen, and you're going to say, how do we get this out, doc? What do we need to do? Cut it out of me. Remove it from me. And that's what David is praying here this afternoon. Cut out those grievous ways from me. Create in me a clean heart, as we sang, from Psalm 51. Cleanse me, renew my heart, remove the hurtful, offensive, idolatrous ways from me. And that process is not an easy one. Surgery can be painful. The process of God cleansing us, of cleaning us, of making us whole, cutting out sin in our lives, is a painful process. I was talking to someone the other day and asking them how they were doing, and they said, I'm doing pretty well. But life is pretty painful at the moment. I'm learning that when God removes the idols out of our life, it hurts. It's a painful process. I want to hold on to those, and God is ripping them out of me. That's true, isn't it? It can be painful as God teaches us those hard lessons that we need to know, that we need to learn, as we come face to face with the sins that we carry with us. But we can ask God to help us, and we should ask God to help us, as David does here. Knowing that we can only begin the process of cleansing because of the work of Jesus Christ. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, chipping away, reminding us, bringing to our attention our sins. Shaping us, molding us more like Jesus Christ. And we can be thankful too that God is a gentle surgeon. In one of the books of the Chronicles of Narnia, Edmund, one of the characters, steals some gold from a dragon. And in that process of having this band around his wrist, he becomes a dragon. And he's stuck there in this cave. And Aslan, the great lion, comes and visits him. What Aslan does is, with his lion's claws, is he claws away the dragon flesh. And Edmund, I don't know the exact words, but Edmund describes it as the most painful process, but also the most blessed process. God works in us. It is painful. It is hard, but it is good. Know me, praise David. Test me, praise David. Clean me, praise David. And then finally, lead me. Lead me in the way everlasting, he prays. See if there's any grievous way in me, verse 24. Lead me in the way everlasting. Now, we could read this as simply speaking about eternity, about eternal life, about going to glory. Take me to glory, Heavenly Father. The time when our trials will be removed, we will have no more troubles. And yes, that is the final goal that that King David has in mind here. It's true that we should look forward to this day and have this day firmly in our sights when our Saviour comes and returns to take us home. But we also pray here, and David also prays, lead me now, guide me in life now as I look forward to the way everlasting. There's a golden book of the story of Tootle. Who's read it? No one's read Tootle? Tootle?
Okay.
What are they teaching kids in school nowadays, eh?
Well, the one about the train.
The one about the train, yes. You have? Okay. Tootlehead was training to be a big engine, boys and girls. He wanted to pull the express from Chicago across the continent, across the country of the United States. But as he was training to do so, he had to learn a number of lessons on the way. He had to learn that he had to stop whenever you saw a red flag. He had to learn how to pull the dining cart without spilling any of the soup. But the most important lesson that Tootle had to learn is that he always had to stay on the tracks. Do you think, boys and girls, that Tootle liked to stay on the tracks? No. He liked to play. And one day, he saw a horse running in the meadow, and he joined that horse, and he came back, and he had grass all through his wheels. So his teacher decided to teach him a lesson. And what he got was a whole lot of people from the village to hide in the grass. And when Tootle went and landed in the middle of the grass, they'd all held up their red flags. So that no matter any way that Tootle went, he had to stop because an engine can never go past a red flag. So he turned one direction, there was a red flag. Another direction, there was another red one. Until finally he saw his teacher standing on the tracks with that green flag. And so Tootle learned the lesson that he always needed to stay on the tracks. David here is reminding us that we need to ask God to help us stay on the tracks, to put up the red flag when we go the ways where we shouldn't, when we head down dangerous, wrong paths. To hold up the green flag and show us the way everlasting, the way of obedience, the way of honoring and glorifying God. As we pray to God, lead us in the way everlasting, again we're acknowledging that we can only do so depending on the work of Jesus Christ. We can only do so because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we're praying that, we're acknowledging we need God's help. This afternoon, David gives us an example of a prayer to God to ask him to lead us, to guide us, to make us clean, to test us, to know us, to work on our hearts, and as we think of the Ten Commandments, help us not to just keep them externally, but to obey from our hearts, seeking from our hearts, to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. In many ways, this prayer is a scary prayer, brothers and sisters. As we pray to God to search us and know our hearts, we're making ourselves vulnerable. We're asking God to work in our lives, test us, refine us, clean us, guide us. But that is a prayer that God will bless. A prayer that will lead to growth as he leads us on the way everlasting. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Where is the blessedness I knew when I first sought the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, Help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. So shall my walk be close with God, calm and serene my frame. So pure a light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb. Let's pray this prayer of David together now. Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come before you this afternoon, we ask you, Heavenly Father, search us and know our hearts, acknowledging that you know every single thing about us. You know every single breath we'll take. You know every single mark, every single scratch, every single defect on our bodies. You know what we are thinking. You know what we've always thought. You know our path in life. But as we pray this prayer, search us and know us, we're asking you, Heavenly Father, to show us. Test us, we pray this afternoon. Know our thoughts. Lord, you know our anxieties. You know the things that we worry about. Work in our hearts, we pray. Test us. Guide us, we pray. Lord, search our hearts for sin. Search our hearts for those areas that we are blind to. And Lord, Heavenly Father, we praise you that you do not show us all of our sin in our life all at once, because that would simply crush us. But that you are patient with us, that you are working slowly in us, slowly chipping away, carefully, lovingly molding us and making us more like Jesus Christ. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in that process. And we pray this afternoon with King David, lead us, guide us, keep us on the tracks, Heavenly Father. Keep us on the right path. Lead us to glory. Show us your glory. Help us to be patient till you come in glory. We pray as God's people together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing now and stand a well-known prayer, a well-known song for God's guidance. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Let's stand and sing all three stanzas. Sorry, number 466. I've got the number here before me, but that doesn't help, does it? 466. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Great Jehovah.